Hey listeners, it's Keith from Evertrue. Evertrue is the end-to-end solution for insight, outreach, and analytics for higher ed advancement and stewardship teams around the world. Recently, we launched Evertrue Studios, advancement's very first media hub, where subscribers have access to over 100 hours of free, on-demand original series and podcasts, all created with fundraisers in mind. Check us out at evertrue.com/studios.
Hey listeners, I'm Kim Naoni, and this is Mentorship Matters, a podcast that examines the current and future landscape of fundraising leaders and the power of inclusive mentorship in advancement. Today, I'm honored to have as my guest, Carla Willis, senior partner and principal with Washburn & McGoldrick. Carla, welcome.
Thanks, Kim. Great to be here.
Glad to have you here. I really appreciate you taking your time to help our audience understand how to prepare for the unexpected, something that most of us deal with at some point in our careers. We may think we have everything planned. You know, we know where our sunset is going to be. We know that we're accomplishing a lot. And then what do you know? Something happens that you don't control. And all of a sudden, you got to shift and pivot. So as we begin our conversation here, I thought I would ask you a couple of questions as relate to that. As you know, the turnover rate for fundraisers has been steadily growing, with individual tenures at universities getting shorter and shorter. I think right now the average is about 1.5 years, depending on where you are. There are many factors that contribute to this, such as a competitive marketplace for talent, proliferation of comprehensive campaigns, work-life balance, and many other factors. In the midst of all this, another phenomenon has been developing: unexpected terminations and downsizing at the leadership and team levels. This has occurred regardless of the fundraising productivity of affected individuals and also the organizations. So what are your thoughts about these developments in the advancement industry?
Question, Kim. And I'm of the opinion that every one of these situations is different. You already mentioned some of the causes. And a couple of other factors you didn't mention are presidential leadership transition.
Right.
And candidates not asking the right questions and learning as much about the institutional culture before accepting that job that seems like the best thing since sliced bread. And more recently, something I refer to as the COVID effect. When new presidential leadership occurs, sometimes the new president has an advancement leader that she or he have worked well with and who they wish to continue working with. And when that happens, it actually creates two VP transitions, one at the institution the president has left and another at the new institution, the transition of the sitting vice president. This is a reality. Presidential tenures have become shorter, and thus this impacts cabinet-level transitions, including in the advancement office. You know, I always say, and when I have these discussions with advancement professionals, it feels so flattering to be wanted and courted by an institution, and so much so that sometimes candidates feel so great about being considered that they don't do the proper vetting and homework on the people and the culture of the institution they are considering joining. And this, to me, is one of the big problems that can lead to unexpected transition. And let's talk about the COVID effect and what I mean by it. During the early part of the pandemic, there were several new VPs appointed at institutions. And I know of many who have had difficulty transitioning into these roles. The work was so different. There was no face-to-face donor contact for months on end, no donors coming to campus. And it was a challenging environment for many of these folks, because the shift from advancement work to keeping the campus safe and COVID-free was paramount, and it should have been. But it was an exhausting time for all leaders, and it caused some chief advancement officers to decide to leave the profession completely and or take breaks. Thus, the environment created caused transitions. Hopefully, though, that type of transition is starting to settle down.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about asking the right questions. I can't tell you how many people that professions that we know that have had that opportunity of a lifetime that it, as it seems, and they're so eager to jump into that role, but they don't pay attention to the other factors. And that's something that, you know, it's a challenge because you can't blame somebody for being excited about the opportunity that may make their career, but that could very much be the opportunity that breaks their career. So it's really, it's a really interesting phenomenon. What are your thoughts? What would you real quickly, I mean, give me an example of a right question that somebody should ask as they're being courted for these positions.
Sure. One question that I think is like crucial, and it's a two-part question. It's what happened to the person who was in the position to create the opening? Why did they leave? There's so much information that one can gain from that question about culture and about the environment, about the people of a place, because that though the answers to those questions are going to help a candidate determine, are they the right fit? Because an institution can pay someone all the money in the world, and that's very appealing. But if the fit isn't right, the tenure will not be long.
Very true. Very truly stated. So as you know, in fundraising, we are results-driven environment. And there's a general belief that if one is successful in delivering results, it means they have job security and carte blanche to run their shop as they see fit. But in reality, fundraisers don't really have control of all the variables, as you've just discussed here, related to job security. And institutional leadership does and can make changes for any reason. And that impacts professionals at all levels. What steps should fundraisers at all levels take to prepare to navigate the unexpected realities and emerge in a strong position to transform their careers?
Kim, I would say that no matter what career professionals are in, even advancement leaders, the one constant is the inevitability of change. And I can't recall who made the statement, but there's a quote, I'm sure you've heard it, the only constant is change. And mm-hmm. what I always, you know, share with people that it's important to stay in touch and connect it with mentors and champions and members of one's network, even when there doesn't appear to be change in sight or on the horizon. And I think that that is what the key is to navigating the unexpected realities and to emerge in a very strong position when transition happens, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And, you know, you can be resilient by, you know, even beforehand, by ensuring that you have a game plan and a strategy on how you're going to navigate when a situation happens. I know for myself, when I faced similar circumstances, before it happened, I knew that, hey, we have a university leadership change, so that and my vice president is no longer here. So that means those of us in leadership may be changed as well. So if that was to happen, what would be my plan B? What would be my plan C? And I kept my network activated all times, and not just when things got difficult. You know, I maintained that, and that proved to be very, very helpful to me.
Well, you did the right things.
Yes. You know, just, you know, as we say, you know, in our business, you pay it forward. You always do the right things by others. And when situations, go sideways, others will do things the right way by you. You know, it's, it just goes without saying. Yeah. So, shifting along here, in your capacity as a principal consultant and fundraising leaders, you have counseled many professionals and organizations on change management, something that is very difficult for many to manage. I mean, we like the constant. We don't want change. Talk to us about your work in this space and the services that Washburn & McGoldrick provides to fundraising professionals and organizations.
Great. Another great question, Kim. And I always like to sort of coach and advise people on the sort of the characteristics and the value of staying if one has a choice. I know it isn't always transitioned by one's choice. In the work we do with our clients, we become trusted confidants with vice presidents and assistant and associate vice presidents for advancement. And often they share with us when they are challenged and considering leaving. They share with us when a seemingly better opportunity at a different institution is presented to them. And when they do, the questions that we often hear are, what do you think? Should I give this consideration? And I often coach these individuals and help them weigh the pros and cons of staying versus leaving. You know, staying means developing deeper, more trusting relationships with the institution, with donors, with faculty members, with alumni and board members. And I believe longer tenure leads to securing more gifts and larger gifts because of having those deeper, more trusting relationships. We have a decade of long relationships with many of our clients at Washburn and McGoldrick, and in many instances have had the opportunity to develop those same types of trusting relationships with chief advancement officers over the years, with whom we've done multiple campaigns for their institutions. And so I think long tenure is important. I know we don't always have a choice in these matters, but even when things seem challenging or you're working with difficult personalities or people, I always try to coach and advise and help strategize on how to stay.
Yeah, you know, it's a challenge, right? Because in industry, we talk about, you know, sometimes you have to move out to move up. But as you move up in your career and you're in a leadership role, moving out quickly is not in the best interest of your career and also of the organization, to the points that you just made, because people are making an investment to be on your team because you're there. And because of your leadership, and your leadership is investing in your division because they know they can trust your vision and how you execute. And so, yes, you have to prepare for what's unknown. But while you're there, I feel like you have to be 1,000% all in trying to make your institution successful. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think one must be all in. If one isn't all in, then they're probably in the wrong institution, because, you know, these relationships lead to principal level gifts, and those don't come overnight. They come over time with that depth of relationship and that trust that evolves between an advancement leader and a donor.
Yeah. And so going back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of the short tenures of, you know, presidencies and things like that. As you mentioned earlier, you know, when you have short tenures of presidency, it means the vice president may not be there that long, which means there's the pressure to win now. There's a pressure to raise as much money as you can during that tenure. And so when I've worked with consultants, or search firms, I should say, and we're talking about a position, and they say, well, you know, we like somebody who has longevity at one place in order to consider them and present them to a candidate, to a client. And so I look at all those things that of the short-term tenures of leaders of the organization. And I say, here I am, I'm an associate director, and I want to grow in my career. You're telling me I need to spend a decade in this one place, but everybody above me keeps on moving. So why should the expectation be different for me as a junior, you know, professional who's also trying to grow? Why should I stay? What would your advice be for somebody in those shoes?
So my advice would be sort of going back to the art and the importance of storytelling. If one can tell a compelling story about why they are looking to leave after having had short tenure, and the story is authentic and believable, and it sort of connects the dots for why one is looking to leave, then I think it makes perfect sense. I think often people don't think about the story they will share about short tenure, because sometimes things happen. Sometimes someone may be a trailing spouse and their spouse got another position in a different city, and so they had to trail for that reason. Sometimes they're leaving because a leader made the decision that they were going to leave. And so one needs to tell the story of the career progression and transition in an authentic and believable way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I think from my perspective, when I think about preparing for the unexpected, as I've moved up the ranks, I've always assumed that the more you move up, the more you are exposed to organizational shifts. And if you want to be in a leadership role, you have to accept that reality, that your job is to block and tackle for your team, for your organization. And at some point, one of those actions you take, even though they may be positive, you are going to face some challenges that may include you losing your position. So a couple of things that I share with friends, to sort of back up what you've been talking about is, one, you always have to network. You always have to maintain your network, keep it active and intentionally network, not because you're looking for the next, but because you want to keep that professional discourse going on. You're participating in conferences and anything that can help improve our profession and contribute to our profession positively. That's something that I've found to be beneficial. And secondly, keep educating yourself and learn how you can be a better professional. We all can use to learn. And when you maintain that learning posture, it really gives you an edge over others. You can study trends in industry. Where are things shifting? For instance, how is AI impacting advancement operations? How can I incorporate that? And as somebody who's running an organization, what are those sort of things that I'm seeing that the institution is asking of us that'll impact how I staff my program? What pivots do I need to make at some point in response to budget reductions and things like that? So you always got to have that in mind and preparing for the future you want to have. And the third thing, I talk about having a plan. You have to have a plan of what if. And, you just can't say, no, it's never going to happen to me. I've been an executive for 25 years. I've raised a ton of money, because we all know there are many people who've been in those shoes, and one day something happens out of their control and they're looking at the mirror. Why me? And so when it happens, you don't have time for why me. You may have a family that depends on you. You may have other obligations. You need to have a plan to know that if such a thing happens, what's going to be my 1, 2, 3, 4 move? And finally, you have to think about, where is it that you're serving? Are you with the right type of institution? Do you feel more comfortable in a small college environment, a community college or what have you, but you went to that massive institution, R1, because you wanted the prestige of having that institution on your resume? But then in reality, you go in, you realize, I don't feel at home here. So as you're, sort of future-proofing yourself, it's important to really take inventory of where you are, the things that you love about where you are, the things that you hate about where you are, and what's the ideal environment for you, so that when you're making a transition, you're making a transition not because this institution X and it's a big name, but it's because it's the place that's good for you as a person and as a professional. So I try to, those are the things that I've guided me as I've tried to navigate this world that we're in, and so I'm curious, what do you think of that?
So those points are great points, Kim. And one of the words that I've heard you use several times is prepared. And I was a Girl Scout when I was a young girl, and one of the mantras of Girl Scouting is be prepared. And so I took that away from Scouting, and it's something that I have used throughout my career, and that is being prepared for whatever situation might come your way. And, to think about some of the things that I shared earlier, making sure that one is asking the right questions when in the search process, and not accepting a role. Don't rush into accepting a role until one has all the answers about the people, the culture, and the place of the institution and the heart of the institution. Is it the right fit for you? You mentioned going from a smaller, perhaps private liberal arts institution to a large public research one. That is often not a smooth transition.
No.
So it's considering that next job and not just going for it, as you said, for the prestige or for the name, but for it being the right next step, the right fit for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't have stated it better. So as we are winding down here towards the tail end of our program, what are the key takeaways for our audience as you consider the subject matter here, preparing for the unexpected?
Sure. So I alluded to this one earlier, and this podcast is entitled Mentorship Matters After All. And so I believe it's so crucial to stay in touch with mentors and champions and people in your network who, when times are good in the workplace, can give you advice, but also can be there for you when there are challenges. We all look at things through different eyes and lenses, and these are the people who know and care about you personally, but can also help you think through these types of situations. You know, one thing I didn't mention earlier is the value of having an executive coach who will listen objectively and help you sort out job transition related considerations. And then finally, for new VPs and even for those who are seasoned, it can be very beneficial to hire a firm like ours to serve as retained counsel to help with fundraising matters, but also to be a sounding board in helping leaders think through the possibility of their own transitions or that of others who are on the advancement team, to help weigh the pros and cons and the cost associated with staying or leaving themselves or encouraging one of their team members to stay or leave. And so those are my takeaways.
Excellent. As we close out, I want to offer you an opportunity to give a shout out to one of your mentors. As you talk about, this is Mentorship Matters, all about mentoring. Who are they and how have they impacted you?
Okay, I'm going to take liberty since you asked me to be on this yes. podcast. I have two. The first is Virgil Smith. He's my executive coach. He has been my executive coach for the last 6 years. We talk when things are great. We've talked when things aren't great. He's just a great person to kick the tires with. He's based in Atlanta, Georgia. He's excellent. The second is President Mary Grant, who is the current sitting president at Mass Art in the Boston area. She's so smart, so wise, always willing to listen, always has great ideas, and will check me when I'm not thinking about things perhaps the way that I should.
And that's what a mentor is supposed to do. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Carla. Well, there you have it. I'm Kim Naoni. Thank you for tuning in to Mentorship Matters. See you soon.